My name is Charles Kirkland Jr. and I'm here sitting with the director of a fantastic film called Exhibiting Forgiveness. This is actually his second film. I mean, you had Jerome Project and you had Shut Up and Paint. And now this is your first feature film and I'm sitting with the incredible Titus Kapar. Thank you for having me and thank you for wonderful work in Exhibiting Forgiveness.
Absolutely, man. I'm really glad you're here. We met, like you said, at Sundance, and you had a pretty visceral response to the film.
Man, it's hard not to, because this film is so beautiful, and I mean, it's reflective of your work. And at the same time, there's this undertone of darkness, and so the juxtaposition between the two is just incredible. Can you talk about how you came up with it?
Yeah, so, you know, you see a lot of films in, like, bad things happen on dark days, good things happen on bright sunny days. But the reality is terrible things can happen on a bright sunny day, right? And so as me and Lachlan, our cinematographer, were talking about the look of the film, we were looking at paintings. And we were talking about not wanting to do the cliche thing where it's like, if it's bad, it's dark. We've gone down that road enough times. We know what it looks like. We know where the destination is. So let's just stay where we are right here. So we tried to do something very different. I'm a painter. So for me, as we were thinking about the looks of the film, you know, I'm going to museums. I'm looking at my art books. I'm going in there and trying to make every shot, every frame a painting. That's what I wanted, ultimately, to try to make a painting in motion. And so I was able to do that only because I had extraordinary people around me. I mean, my cinematographer is just like, I mean, you saw the movie.
Yeah. I remember back in Shut Up and Paint, excuse me. When you were setting up the theater, I mean, the gallery where you're putting your paintings, you had a direction going on as you had, I want this happening and then this happening. Yeah. And I could see how it was, you had an idea of the concepts of direction and to see it come to fruition in this film. Did you ever imagine that this was the direction that you'd be going
in? I mean, that's a really interesting question. I mean, the reality is this film goes with Shut Up and Paint. Shut Up and Paint is a documentary about me very directly in a moment in my career where I was recognizing that, oh man, I guess I've made it to the top. I'm at all of the museums I want to be, MoMA, Metropolitan, Whitney Museum. You know, I'm like in the collections I want to be a part of. And yet I feel like the more successful I get, the more my work is disconnected from the community that I come from. And so I began to ask myself the question, like, what is it about the art world that feels so disconnected from real people? And what is it about film that allows real people to enter in? And so my ultimate approach, and it wasn't like a strategic, let me point by point, let me start this, do this and do this. But ultimately what happened was I moved into film because I believe that film is a much more democratically accessible medium. And my folks who I grew up with may never walk into the Metropolitan Museum, but anybody can access a movie.
Right.
So that to me, being able to share the story in a different medium is like being multilingual. There are certain things that you can only say in French. You meet a French person and you're like, they're like, how do you say it? How do you say it? You know what? You can't say this in English, right? And that's the same thing in terms of art. There are certain things that you can say and do in a painting that you can do no place else. But there are certain things in a film that you can say and do that you can do no place else. So for me, it's not one is better than the other. It's about trying to find which particular project needs to be articulated in this or that medium.
So again, it looks like you are merging the two worlds in this film, the art world and the film world, together in such a cohesive manner that is, like you said, accessible to everyone.
I hope so. I mean, so as I said before, I'm a painter. Like that's primarily what I do. I've been painting for 20 years. It's funny that people are recognizing me now as a director, but I'm a painter. So all the paintings in the film, I made those.
Yes.
I wrote the script and made the paintings at the same time. I wake up in the morning, 5 o'clock, start writing, and write for a couple hours, take my kids to school, then drive to the studio. And then while I was at the studio, I would make sketches of the things that I was writing about. And then I'd start the whole thing over the next day. And then in five months, I basically had the script, pretty much the first draft of the script done. And then I was continuing to make these paintings. So those paintings are all in the movie. So there is a bridge between them. And when we did the premiere in Beverly Hills, I really, really got to bring it together. So we set up a 90-seat theater in Gagosian Gallery in Beverly Hills. It's still up now till November 2nd if y'all happen to be over in the area. So when people walk in, they walk through this dark tunnel, these curtained tunnels. They turn around and they walk into this theater, and there's this beautiful screen and velvet seats and all of this. You sit and you watch the movie. Remember that experience of watching the film? Remember how you felt at the very end of the film? But right when the film ends, the screen rolls up, a little bit of smoke enters the room, and Andra Day walks out from the side and she starts singing the song that she wrote in the film right in front of you. And she's just singing and people are getting emotional. And when she's about halfway through the song, we open the curtains in the back and all of the paintings that you just saw in the film are there, but there's moonlight on them, so they look a little dark. She walks into the back, and we bring up the lights, and all of a sudden it's like the sun rises and she continues and completes her song. And for me, that was the fulfillment of the entire vision. I was so excited about that. We had people crying. It was like, it was so
beautiful. I'm about to cry just thinking about it. I wasn't there to experience it, but man, it sounds incredibly beautiful.
I am looking to do that again on a bigger scale in other places. So we would need to do it in a much bigger venue because I want to give more people the opportunity to see that.
Okay, all right. Tell me about the process. I mean, this is your first directorial effort.
Yeah.
And you got people like Andra Day, Andre Holland, John Earl Jepps, Anjanou Ellis, such incredible talent. Yeah. What was it like? And what was your biggest challenge?
Let me just say what you're trying to say. How the hell did you, not directing nothing, come out the gate with these people? It is a blessing, man. These people have faith in me. Anjanou, Andra, Andre, John, like, they believed in me actually because of my artwork.
Wow.
So I talked to each of them, and they all had known who I was as a painter, because as an artist, whatever medium you're in, you are engaged with other artists. They were following me and I was following them. I didn't know that they were following me. So Andra, when her agent called her, the agent said to her, oh, Titus is making his directorial debut. And she said, yes, yes, yes. And then she said, oh shoot, I hope the script is good. So it's like, I got the faith of these people, and it was an extraordinarily special experience, man. Because of the fact that I trusted them, because of the fact that I knew that they had the capacity to do everything that was in those pages, we didn't talk about the script in a direct way. We talked about life. We talked about our families. We talked about our fathers. We got to know one another. So that when we were on set together, when times got hard, we trusted each other. And when I needed to say, Andre, I know you don't want to stand up and tell your mother this right now. I know you don't want to do that, but you have to. You in your words, you need to shake her by the shoulder so she doesn't find herself in pain again.
Wow.
And we went back and forth, and he goes, okay. And he said, give me one more time. We ran it back. And you got what you got, that park bench scene.
Wow.
Which is like,
yeah.
I'm telling you, man, like everybody on the set felt that. And that's the thing about this caliber of actor, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. this ensemble, this entire ensemble delivers every single time. So when you're on set, it's not feeling like you are just making a movie. You are watching someone manifest before your very eyes. Hmm. So there are many times we're shooting and I'm forgetting to yell cut because I'm like, man, this is just, wow. This is so powerful, so.
I don't know how much time we have.
Keep going.
But anyway. the concept of forgiveness.
I need a stir, by the way.
Try to cut.
I'm trying to get us
okay. Okay. The concept of forgiveness in this film is very radically different from what we've seen in other films. How did you arrive at this, at the idea of what forgiveness looks like in this film, and does that reflect what it is in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, you know, my family's from Mississippi originally, then moved up to Michigan. And my family is deep in the church, man, really, really deep in the church. And I grew up with the concept of forgiveness that is modeled after Jesus' sacrifice, right? The kind of forgiveness where somebody smacks you across the cheek and you give them the other cheek.
Right.
There was a certain point in my life where I realized this is detrimental to us. We cannot put ourselves in the situation again and again where people continue to choose to harm us because of our grace, because of our forgiveness. They're using this against us. And having watched my mothers, my auntie, my grandmother go through so many different situations with this knucklehead and that knucklehead over there, I just felt like with my mom, we would have these arguments. Like, no, I don't think you should forgive him like that. Not in a way where you let him back into your life. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not. And so the forgiveness in this film is one where you are not required to re-injure yourself.
Right.
Where you are not required to put yourself at risk again. Where no, you do not have to turn the other cheek. I'm going to say, I forgive you. I don't carry this burden anymore. You don't hold a debt for me, but I am not putting my face close enough to yours for you to smack me again, right? And that is not how forgiveness is taught, but that is most definitely the forgiveness modeled in this film.
Yeah.
The character says, oh, you took the past and I forgave you for that, but the future, that belongs to me. That belongs to my children.
Right.
And that is something that actually happened. That conversation is almost verbatim the conversation that I had with my father. It didn't happen in the gallery, it happened in my studio.
Hmm.
He showed up at my studio and was trying to tell me all of that stuff. And the situation was just so bizarre. When he left, I just wrote it down. This is before I knew I was writing a script. I just wrote it down because I was like, wait, did that shit really happen? Like, I cannot believe he came in here trying to explain to me that I am successful because of the things that he did to me. What is happening right now? And so what you see on the screen in that scene, almost verbatim, is the conversation that we had. So I came to this idea of forgiveness through the process of wrestling with it, saying, I know I cannot pass this on to my children. I cannot carry this burden anymore. I cannot hold a debt against my father. He is not the villain of my life. I realized that in the writing of this film. Mm. My father is as much a victim as anybody in this story.
Right.
But it took putting his character on the page before I realized that within myself.
I believe it was Robert Hayden, great poet from Detroit.
Yeah.
Who said, all great art is suffering and outlived, a pain outlived.
Ooh. Ooh. I'm going to have to find that quote.
Okay.
I like that.
All right, Robert Hayden.
Well, I know Robert Hayden is.
Obviously. I mean, you're from Detroit. From Michigan.
Yeah,
so he's from
Detroit. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, check it out.
I know exactly who to ask, my boy, Reginald Dwayne Betts. Great, another great poet.
And so as I'm watching this film, I can see the great art, and I can see that there's, and even in the story, that there's great pain behind the art. Mm. And so I just recognize that there's no way you could be here without having gone through that. And you talked about that with your father, and it makes sense. I mean, I know about the Jerome Project. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it, but I've heard about it. And so I understand that this is a passion project for you.
I mean, for sure. I mean, this is part of the reason you said you haven't seen it before. This is part of the reason why I'm going about this project in the way that I am. This is the reason why there is an exhibition, as I said, that's up in Beverly Hills till November 2nd. That's 15 of the paintings that are in the film there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can experience this other side. Those paintings are the place where I really wrestle through all of this stuff. That has been my practice and my process for years now, going into the studio, trying to figure this stuff out for myself, and now being able to share it with people. When you see the film in the theater, at the end of the film, there's a QR code and a website that will take you to the images in the painting. So it says, see the paintings that inspired the film, and you can definitely check that out. And hopefully those two pillars will give you more, a deeper experience of the whole project itself.
Okay. So what's next? You're an artist, you're now a director, a writer. What's next?
I was thinking about Barbados. I don't know, man. I what in my practice, I very rarely have a plan for what's next. Usually the last thing leads into the next thing. And so I think I need to get to the end of this a little bit further, closer to the end of this, before I realize what the next thing is coming.
Well, it's still a wave to ride because you got, you know, your premiere is coming.
Yeah.
And you're, like you said, you're going to be nationwide theaters.
Yeah.
As a writer for the Black Reel Awards, I'm looking to see this film prominently nominated in the awards for
from your mouth, man, to God's ears. Yeah.
And who knows what's next?
Yeah, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So congratulations. I think it's a fantastic movie.
Thank you so much, sir.
All right.
Good to talk to you.
God bless you.